Mistress Anne Delacroix, born November the 10th, 1620, in Paris, France. She is usually known as Ninon Delacroix. Her Ninon nickname was given to her by her father. Now, at the age of 12, her father was exiled, supposedly for some sort of dueling issue. And at 22, her mother died. And at the age of 22, she's still unmarried. So initially, Ninon entered a convent. And that lasted a year. She decided the convent life was not for her. At the age of 23, she decided to devote her life to pleasure. I guess that's what a convent does. It's either one thing or go the other. Now, Horace Walpole calls her, quote, the veritable Notre Dame of lovers. So she's going to be pretty successful. And the Frenchman Saint-Simon called her, quote, a shining example of the triumph of vice when directed with intelligence and redeemed by a little virtue. That's okay. So we've got a courtesan slash prostitute, I would assume, who's very bright and has a little virtue, perhaps because she did not necessarily cheat with everybody. At any rate, when Ninon returned to Paris, she became a very popular figure in the salon. She would come and visit, talk, very intellectual. She's very well-learned, well-scholared. Her home then became the center for literary discussion. She actually encouraged Molière. She actually left money for her accountant's son. Her accountant's son was so poor he couldn't buy books, so she left some money to him to buy books. Now, of course, he was only 9 years old at the time, and the little accountant's son's name is François-Marie Arouet. We know him as, of course, Voltaire. So she kind of helps some of these people out. She's also an author in her own right. She wrote a book called La Coquette Venée, which is The Flirt Avenged. And in it, it says, quote, much more genius is needed to make love than to command armies. Well, that's she didn't have to do one, but she was very good at the other. Now, at this time, it's a little different. The courtesans in the 1620s and the rest of Europe usually are people who are going to take on very wealthy or very notable lovers. It's also very much looked down upon. It's not the way it's going to be in the late 1700s through the 1800s in the demi-mode era. So she's going to be kind of, on the one hand, the local leadership will think a lot of her, but other people will not. Some of her lovers include Gaspard Coligny, François, Duc de Rochefoucauld, but this is probably the virtue part that Saint-Simon talked about. She never took more than one lover at a time. So she's not on the clock. She's not like a Venetian courtesan who might have a lover at noon and another one a couple hours later and then one in the evening and so forth and so on, being high-class individuals. She is just basically like a Madame de Pompadour, if you will. She was intelligent, graceful, witty. She was considered sensual in both appearance and in nature. But passion is what she really liked. She really liked passion. If her suitor's lovemaking lacked passion, she tossed him out. Life was more passionate, she said, if she felt love. So she fell in love with every man she slept with, which is an interesting point. Now, Cardinal Richelieu, we don't usually think of Cardinal Richelieu as a lecherous old swine looking for chicks, but the Cardinal Richelieu was fascinated by Ninon, but she wasn't interested in him in anything other than intellectual discussion. But, you know, Cardinal Richelieu is a hard guy to turn down. Now, eventually, what she did was she sent him one of her skilled friends, and Richelieu was very, very pleased, as a matter of fact, and gave Ninon 50,000 crowns as a thank you. So evidently she has a few little stars that she can send over if she's not interested. Her first child was fathered by Marcel d'Estrées. Actually, there's a debate about this. He claims it, and so does another man. It's very unusual in history to find multiple people wanting to claim a bastard child as theirs. The other one competing with Marcel d'Estrées was an Abbe de Saint, a priest. That's great. Well, the way it worked is they rolled dice to determine who the father was, and Marcel d'Estrées ended up winning it. Now, Ninon angered Louis XIII's wife, who was Anne of Austria, with her opinions on organized religion. Actually, Ninon is a follower of the philosopher Epicurus. So she's Epicurean. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Yeah. Well, anyway, it got her imprisoned. Now, she wasn't sent to a regular prison. They imprisoned her in a convent in 1656. But Cardinal Mazarin managed to get her released. As a result, Ninon wrote her book in 1659, La Coquette Vignée, defending living a good life in absence of religion. Now, she also had more affairs. The Marquis de Sauvigné, the Duc d'Angoulême, the Marquis de Vellecourt. Actually, was with him for 3 years. At the age of 40, Ninon gave up the courtesan life and did two things. One of them is she hosted a literary gathering at the Hotel Segon. And there she had Jean-Baptiste Racine and François d'Aubigny, who later on became Madame Maintenon. And she opened, I like this part. This is something that's pretty interesting. She opened a school of gallantry. Now, this is for the sons of nobles. And the curriculum included, learn how to deal with a wife. I'll make no comment here. Learn how to deal with a mistress. And I'd better not make a comment there. What to expect of a woman. You see, all of these are pretty loaded questions for us men. And then their fourth part of the curriculum was lovemaking, which generally involved verbal instruction. However, there were lab demonstrations in Ninon's bedroom. Now, for the most part, she lived a very good life from a financial standpoint, was very happy most of her life. But she has one disaster, and occurred at the age of 65. This is in 1685. Her son attended the School of Gallantry. It's just that he didn't know that Ninon was his mother. Well, he fell in love with her, and she went out of her way. He sent her letters, he sent her gifts. She tried to get rid of him, she tried to put it off, and eventually she was forced to confront him and told him the whole truth, at which point the boy ran into her garden and killed himself with his sword. That was the last time Ninon ever used her nickname. She went back to calling herself Anne and had this kind of sorrowful rest of her life, which lasts until October the 17th, 1705, when Anne Ninon Delacroix died at the age of 84, 1 month from becoming 85. Sources for this were Saint-Simon at Versailles by Norton and the Encyclopedia of Mistresses by Sova. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, and of course, check out the CDs. Thank you very much.